Welcome to Season 4 of Homeschool Talk with HCS. That's Heritage Christian School in San Diego, a private Christian home education umbrella program, or PSP, serving homeschooling families nationwide since 1988. I am the show producer, Lilia Sepulveda. Now please welcome your host in the 30th year of her homeschooling journey, HCS Principal Vicki Sturmowen.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Homeschool Talk with HCS. I am your host, Vicki Sturmowen, and today I am joined by fellow HCS member and homeschool mom, Allison Wardrip. Allison is our Escondido Co-op Class Day lead, and she was also a recent speaker at our annual Heritage Conference. And it was her talk at the conference that inspired this particular episode. Today we will be talking about the importance of incorporating a biblical worldview into your homeschooling. Well, Allison, let's start at the beginning. What prompted you to become interested in this topic?
Well, first of all, discipling my kids is a number one priority. So not only do I want to focus on, you know, their academics, but also just teaching them to value the Bible and prayer and just having a faith of their own. And so that has been in the forefront of my mind, but it really became a higher priority probably about 5 years ago when I went through just a really traumatic experience with a friend of mine. And it made me realize that my faith just was kind of passive, and I really needed to solidify, you know, why do I believe what I believe? Because I personally had had a powerful conversion experience. And so I knew that my faith was real, that God was real, the Bible was true, but I really just relied upon my own personal experience. And so once I saw just this difficult situation with my close friend, I realized, wait a minute, there's more here that I need to dig into just to have a more robust faith. And then, of course, to pass that on to my kids.
Well, as challenging as that experience with your friend was, it's so encouraging to see that God used it to set you down this path. So what does it mean to have a biblical worldview?
Well, I think first it's important to understand that everyone has a worldview. So this means that all of us, we have a specific lens that we see the world through. And so that just really shapes how we interpret what's around us. And so our worldview helps us answer the big questions of life, such as how did I get here? Why am I here? What's my purpose in life? What's the difference between right and wrong? What's going to happen after I die? So there are a lot of different worldviews that people might have. So of course, as Christians, we want to answer these big questions by using the Bible as our foundation and guide.
Yes, as Christian parents, we definitely want to raise our kids according to what the Bible says and teaches about these things and teach them how to think biblically. That seems to be, though, an increasingly difficult task given the world around us. With the changes in even our somewhat recent history as a society, so much has changed, which makes parenting and discipleship potentially even more challenging than in years past. Would you agree with that?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, we can see just in front of us so many things that we have to deal with now that maybe we didn't 5, 10 you know, years ago. And this is also what the data shows. So maybe in years past, there was more of a general agreement on things like moral values and treating others with respect and hard work and things like that. Even if people didn't necessarily identify as Christian or use the Bible to guide their life, there was still an agreement on these issues. But now we've just seen so many things coming at us that are opposed to our moral values and what we believe from the Bible. So when we look around us at the media and what we see in, you know, stores that we shop in or advertising or whatever it is, the worldview that is the most dominant around us, it's called postmodernism or secularism. And so basically that worldview operates without a commitment to the authority of a religion or God. So obviously very different from a Christian worldview, but it's important to note that worldviews themselves are not neutral. So even if a person might claim that they're trying to be neutral and not take a side on something, it really is impossible because we are going to be guided by something. And so in today's situation of a postmodern secular worldview, the guiding force is the self. And so I'm sure we could come up with lots of different examples of seeing this play out in everyday life with different ads that we see or products or hashtags. Basically, the idea of you do you or do what makes you happy, follow your heart, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I've seen those things around me as well. You can't be on social media for any length of time and not see that coming through. But throughout history, this has always been a calling for Christians to somehow live in the world, but not live like the world. So how is this dichotomy playing out differently today?
Yeah, good point. It's definitely true that as Christians, we're to be set apart, and we're always going to be faced with challenges when we choose not to conform to what the world is presenting to us. The difficulty today that we're facing that's extra challenging is that some of these secular postmodern views are seeping into the church. And so, unfortunately, Christians are adopting some of these incorrect and unbiblical ideas, and we're getting confused, and our kids are being discipled into the confusion as well. I know we don't have a lot of time to go into a lot of details, but I do have one example that I want to share. So there was a Christian pastor here in Southern California, and he wanted to just kind of get a feel for what was going on among Christian youth. And so he wanted to ask the question, are these Christian young people having that postmodern, secular, relativistic worldview? And so he kind of came up with a test to find out. So the first thing he did was made sure they had an understanding of what it means if something is subjective and objective. So just for our own purposes here, to say that something is objective means that it is capable of being true or false. It might not be something everyone agrees on, but there is an actual true or false answer. So if you're working on a complex math problem, you might not know if you have the right answer, but there is a right answer. So that's important to know. If you're talking about subjective, it's more of an opinion. So for example, that person's shirt is red. Okay, that's objective. Red is the best color. That's subjective. Okay, so we get the idea. So then this pastor, he went on to ask questions and probe a little bit further. He made the statement, God exists. And 75% of the teenagers said that statement was subjective. He went on to say, premarital sex is wrong. All of the teenagers except one said that was subjective. So it's just showing that the teens could no longer grasp the comprehensive character of biblical truth. One of the teenagers said, well, as a Christian, I do think premarital sex is wrong, but other people or groups might have their own opinion about it, and that's all right for them. So basically, we're seeing through this example that even Christian teenagers have absorbed the idea that something can be true for you, but not true for me, which is the postmodern relativistic worldview that we find ourselves in. And so we are seeing that secularism has become the cultural air in which we live and breathe on a daily basis. So this is just one example of many. And before we move on, I want to provide a couple of statistics. We won't get too bogged down in the numbers, but just to get an idea of what we're dealing with here, there was a survey in 2019 that showed that Americans who self-identify, 65% of people identified as Christian. So if you think about that number for a second, it seems pretty high. Over half of the U.S. population identifying as Christian. I mean, that just seems kind of crazy. But when you dig deeper, you find out that when people self-identify, basically anyone can call themselves a Christian. So if a person went to church as a child or was raised in a Christian home, they can check that box, Christian. If a person generally agrees with the Christian values but rejects a core doctrine of the faith, they could still call themselves a Christian. If someone rejects the authority of the Bible but still considers themselves a Jesus follower, they could still check the box as Christian. So when people self-identify, it's not really that accurate necessarily. So when you look closer at the data, at the people who are truly operating from a biblical worldview, meaning they believe that all of the Bible is true and inerrant, and they follow the core tenets of the Christian faith every day, the numbers are much more striking. So in 2017, one of the research projects found that 10% of all Americans have a biblical worldview. So right away, you can see the difference between 65% versus 10%. Then fast forward a little bit to 2020, that same, there was an inventory done by George Barna, who is a famous Christian researcher. And when they looked at the data in 2020, the number went down to 6% of Americans who have a biblical worldview. Now in 2023-2024, it's gone down to about 4% at this point. 3 or 4%. So it just keeps going down, which is pretty shocking to see. And then one other interesting stat is that 21% of people who attend an evangelical Protestant church have a biblical worldview. So pretty low number when you think about the church that you attend and who's sitting next to you in the pews or whatever it might be. A very low percentage of people in churches actually have a biblical worldview.
Yeah, those numbers are very sobering. And I hope they're a wake-up call to every single person listening to this podcast. We have a definite crisis on our hands, but we also have a wonderful opportunity. As Christians who want to faithfully disciple our children to have a rich and meaningful biblical worldview, what can we practically do? How do we not get discouraged by these numbers?
Well, it is sobering and disheartening, but we definitely can't give up hope. I mean, we have opportunity right now just to change the tide. So first, we just have to understand God is in control and he's not surprised by any of this. It's also important to recognize that it's a spiritual battle. And so we can equip ourselves to stand against the cultural tide. The verse from Ephesians 6 about putting on the armor of God and standing strong in his might comes to mind with how we can live that out. It's really important for us as parents to equip ourselves first or even simultaneously while we are being proactive to train our kids. We also have to teach our kids that as Christians, we are definitely the spiritual minority in our culture. So we just saw the data. People who are living biblically faithful, it's a very low percentage, even among our church-going peers. So just helping kids to understand, you know, we might do things differently, and that's okay. And then, of course, the biggest key is we must be reading the Bible every day, and our children must be reading it as well for themselves. So just being able to find a translation that's age-appropriate. I mean, the key is we can't really teach our kids to have a biblical worldview if we're not actually reading the Bible. So that's foundational. One other thing that I wanted to mention in one of the research studies I read, George Barna and his team, they looked at, well, what are the foundational beliefs that people really need to hold on to in order to have a robust biblical worldview? So there's 7 points, so I'll just briefly go through these. So the first one is that there must be an orthodox biblical understanding of God. So in our modern relativistic culture, that's one of the keys of where to start, because a lot of people don't even believe now that God is real, that God exists. So making sure our kids understand who God is. Number two, understanding that all human beings are sinful by nature and that every choice we make has moral considerations and consequences. Number three, the consequences of our sin can only be forgiven and eliminated through Jesus Christ. And the forgiveness that we have is available only by our personal and sincere acknowledgement and confession of our sins and complete reliance on His grace for the forgiveness of those sins. Number four, the entire Bible is true, reliable, and relevant, making it the best moral guide for every person in all situations. And number five, absolute moral truth exists. These truths are defined by God, they're described in the Bible, and they are unchanging across time and culture. So this is what we're really coming up against right now in our modern day, where people really want to change the meaning or the understanding of the Bible to fit our culture. And that's really dangerous to do, as we can see playing out. Number six, the ultimate purpose of human life is to know, love, and serve God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And number seven, success on earth is best understood as consistent obedience to God in thoughts, words, and actions.
Great. Well, thank you for giving some practical tips on how to even start ensuring that we're passing on a biblical worldview to our kids. I love your call to daily Bible reading, not only for our kids, but for us. Often as homeschoolers, we lose the forest for the trees, and we focus so much on academics and getting through the curriculum and getting into the right colleges. And none of those things are wrong. But if you aren't modeling and teaching the importance of Bible reading and study, if your kids leave your home and cannot give a hearty amen to those seven foundational beliefs, then what have you really accomplished? If the best we can say at the end of our homeschooling journey is that we churned out educated pagans who can't affirm that the Bible is the inerrant word of God and that the only path to salvation is through Jesus Christ, then what are we even doing? So it sounds like you're saying a simple, practical, I can start this tomorrow step is introducing some sort of plan to ensure Bible reading is happening on a daily basis across the board. How might that look for someone who's not already doing that?
Absolutely. So the easiest way is just to start. Don't overthink it. There are so many different apps or Bible reading plans. Just all you have to do is click and start. And so the easiest way would be to start playing an audio Bible just while you're already doing the common routines of your day. So if you're going to be brushing your teeth at night or in the morning, you know, your audio Bible is just playing a little snippet from a podcast, or you're getting ready to sit down and drink your coffee, just read a chapter of your Bible. Or same with the kids, they're pouring their cereal in the morning. You can just play a little snippet of the podcast. We're obviously in the car a lot, driving to different activities. That's another great opportunity to put something on, to have it just basically saturating us on a daily basis. And also, it's so important just to talk to our kids about their faith regularly and ask them questions like, why are you a Christian? You know, we really want them to think deeply about it and not just have an answer of, well, because we go to church or because you told me to as the parent or whatever it might be. And also asking them, what is the gospel? Do they understand what the basic tenets of our faith are and just how would they answer these questions? And then ask them what questions they have. It can be a dialogue. There's some great apps that have great catechism questions about what our faith is. And those are great to use maybe at dinner time or just whenever to get a conversation going about what our faith is. And it's really important to just know and be reassured that we don't have to know all the answers. And just like with homeschooling, right? I don't do like advanced math with my kids because I don't know that. But if my kids ask me a question about the faith that I don't know, then we can both look into it. We can study together, look for answers. And so it's just a matter of getting the opportunity there for them to think deeply and to ask those questions. So reading the Bible, studying it, discussing it, it just needs to be a part of our everyday life.
Amen. Thank you so much, Allison, for sharing your experience and giving us the benefit of all your study and research into this topic. Discipleship and homeschooling work very well together because it's through the homeschooling lifestyle that you're given the time and the environment that you need to effectively and unapologetically pass on your faith to your kids. Biblical discipleship is not an isolated moment, it's a way of life. And that is why homeschooling and biblical discipleship complement each other so beautifully. It is truly that Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9 way of living. This is more important than math. This is more important than crossing off the next lesson plan. Make teaching a biblical worldview your priority with your kids while you still can. Thank you so much, Allison, for joining us and giving us this reminder and for sharing everything that you've studied about this topic. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And now for the Heritage Happenings portion of the show. There are all kinds of events and activities happening in April, so be sure you keep up with the newsletter and jot down the things that pertain to you. On-site SAT testing is happening on April 2nd through 4th. At-home testing will be taking place anytime between the 12th and the 17th. This year's drama production, Singing in the Rain, is happening on April 12th and April 13th. Tickets are on sale now. Be sure to check out the website or newsletter for information about tickets. The high school formal is happening on April 16th. Both academies have their meet and greets, giving parents the opportunity to meet and talk to the teachers, as well as hear about upcoming changes and news related to their respective academy. The HCS Academy, which is for grades 7 through 12, has their meet and greet on April 15th, and the Junior Academy has theirs on April 18th. You can find information for both on the website and in the newsletter. The incoming senior meeting, this would be for the class of 2025, is happening on April 22nd. Keep your eye on the newsletter for more information about that event if you have a student who will be graduating in 2025. Beach volleyball starts up in April with tryouts happening on the 17th, and all of that is in addition to all the other clubs already meeting, as well as all the field trips and grade-specific socials that are going on. Class registration opens in April for both academies and all four co-op class day campuses. You can find more information and pertinent dates for that on the website, in the newsletter, and on HSL. Well, that's it for today, folks. I hope you are feeling excited and motivated or re-motivated to think through ways to put what we have talked about today into practice in your home. If you're feeling like you could use some help implementing this in your home, use the HCS community for help, and specifically use Allison for help. Feel free to contact the office. She has given us permission to give out her email for that purpose. If you want to talk about some of these resources that she has used for herself, as well as what she's using for her kids, and just some of the statistics and information that she has gleaned from this experience, we can give you her email address and you can get in touch with hers. And then talk to others in your HCS community, at class days or clubs or wherever you're at. Ask what others are doing how they're incorporating a biblical worldview into the education of their children. May we all be able to echo John's comments in 3 John 1:4 when this is all said and done. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. That is the goal. Have a great week, everyone.